If someone walked up to you this afternoon and asked you, why do you praise God? Why do you worship Him? What would you tell them? Would you have to stop and think about it? Or would you just be able to tell them from your heart why you worship God? That is what I want us to consider this morning before we get into the lesson. Again, it's good to see everyone that's able to be out. We continue dealing with health issues and concerns here. We get somebody back, somebody else is out. We need to be mindful of Brother Code that left and Sister Pat and Sister Nella. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And if you picked up a bulletin this morning, it's a little bit different than I normally do it. I normally do like a summary of the lesson. I alluded to this Wednesday night. This is just an outline of the Psalms of praise, something that's common with all of them. Sometimes, and I would do the same thing if I was somewhere where they handed out a bulletin. I'd read through the bulletin, and then you set the bulletin down because you think you know what's in the sermon for the next period of time. So I did this a little different this week. But hang on to that, because as we go through other praise psalms, this is an outline that you can use to outline it yourself. So let's look at this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. This is one of many praise psalms, and we have this psalm in our book also. I did not put it on the list that I handed out Wednesday evening, but this psalm on page 42 is taken from Psalm 8, How Majestic is Your Name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God, O Lord, God Almighty, God Almighty. So we were created to praise God, not just for an hour a week here, not just for 7 days a week here or a few years here, but we were created to praise God for all eternity. And that's what we are going to be doing when we get to heaven. And there are reasons why we do this, and God has revealed them to us, and it should help us have a deeper appreciation for who God is and for our worship to Him. This psalm, Psalm 8, is also considered a messianic psalm because of several quotations in it. Verse 2 is in Matthew 21, verse 4 is in Hebrews 2, and verse 6 is in 1 Corinthians 15. But when we look at this psalm in the first verse, Lord, our Lord, notice those two words. The first word is in all caps. The second word has a uppercase L and then a lowercase for the rest of it. The first word in the Hebrew is translated Yahweh. O Lord, Yahweh, our Lord. The second word translated Lord is the Hebrew Adonai. Both of these terms convey how only Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai is worthy to be one's Lord. And notice with this too, that specifically when God's power is seen in creation and how he deals with man, the only logical conclusion, the only logical result is that he deserves to be our Lord. O Lord, how our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heaven. David addresses God personally by his name, and then he adds value to his name. O Lord, how Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. David declares that his name is the most majestic out of literally thousands of names that exist on heaven or in heaven, on the earth. His name is incomparable. When you think about God, when you think about our Lord, there is nothing that can be compared to God. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." How great is God? We can't measure how great he is, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height. God is incomparable. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Why praise God? David also declares that God has displayed his splendor above the heavens. You have set your glory above the heavens in verse 1. What's special about the heavens? Well, since the creation of time when people departed from God and started worshiping idols, a lot of people worship the heavens. They worship the gods that they think are in the heavens. They worship the sun, the moon. Jeremiah speaks of this in Jeremiah 44 and verse 17. "But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour our drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well pleased and saw no trouble." So here, Jeremiah, he speaks of the Queen of Heaven. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 8, says, "So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of their Lord, their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east." So, see, people worshiped the Queen of Heaven. People worshiped the sun. And what does David say about, O Lord, our Lord? He says, "How excellent is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name. Your name is the greatest name there is. Above all of those other gods, your name is great. Friends, God is big. We one of the reasons we praise God is because God is big. How big is He? Isaiah gives us a little glimpse in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Can you find the earth on this slide up here? Can't even find it. God has created everything. The earth is just His footstool. And He is our God, our Lord. We should praise Him for how great and mighty He is. Notice in verse 2, Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So stop and think about this. He goes from talking about the heavens and how great God is, and then he mentions the wonders of childbirth. A baby proclaims the power of God. I showed a couple of you that video of our granddaughter holding our new grandson, singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to him. And you just look at that baby, and how can you say there's not a God? You hear a baby cry, how can you say there's not a God? He created life. Everything that exists cries out, God exists. When we see the greatness of God in creation, we will stop being the enemy of God and submit to God. The childbirth speaks volumes concerning God's awesome power. In verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You know, God wants us to give serious thought to the wonders of creation, the vastness of the universe, the greatness of the skies, the planets, the stars. They're fitting testimony for the omnipotence of God. And when we go out at night and look up into the sky, it's just being awestruck. And David says, What is man that you are mindful of him? Stop and think, friends. God is mindful of us. And that is reason right there that we should praise him. We are nothing in this great universe, but God is mindful of him, of us. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him? So David identifies several reasons to acknowledge God's greatness. His great name in verse 1. His power seen in the creation of man in verse 2. And his power seen in the heavens in verse 3. And when you look at all the planets and the stars and the sun, how are they described? I mean, those are unbelievable. You think about the earth or the sun or the moon, any of those things, how are they described? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, these planets, this earth that we live on, the sun that gives us light and the moon, it's the work of his fingers. It's nothing compared to how great God is. And we should praise God because of that. God has molded the unseen as a potter. Again, you take the earth and you think we have so many men that are just so high-minded and arrogant in this world that they think they are so great and in control of things. And it's as if you think about if it were possible to take the earth and just set it on a potter's wheel, and God is sitting there molding and shaping the things that go on all around about us to suit His pleasure. The whole universe sits on the potter's wheel. The whole universe stands on the Lord's workbench. It's just the work of His fingers. But this is a well-known verse. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. This is something that we should stop and reflect on. What is man that you are mindful of him? There is something about us that's different than the rest of God's creation for him to take notice of us. And what is that? That's the soul that he has given to us. That's the spirit that we have that will live on forever. So, 2 points we need to take from this: that God would even think about man. And not only does God just think about us, but that he cares about us. He cares about us and sees to our every need. The Hebrew writer quotes this section running through verse 6 to illustrate the superiority of Jesus over mankind. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the Hebrew writer says, "But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him.'" So again, God created everything, just like a potter molding something out of clay. And everything that he has created is so beautiful and wonderful. And then he puts everything under subjection to man. Why praise God? Why wouldn't we praise God when we understand who he is and what has he done? In verse 5, "You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Out of all the elements of God's creation, from the planets to the plants to the animals to the birds, what is the crowning glory? It is man. It is man who has been given glory and majesty. And why did God give that to man? Because God created us in his image. We are created in the image of God, and we should praise God for that. You stop and think of his other creations. You look at the visible things, the trees, the landscapes, the oceans, the currents, all of that, they cry out that God exists. It's evidence. It's evidence of a creator, of a designer. They cry out. And then God creates us, the crowning glory of his creation. He creates us in his image. And how do we cry out in praise to God? How do we do that? Oh, do I have to go to church on Sunday? That's the extent of the understanding of some people that profess to be Christians. We should praise God for so many reasons. In Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God has placed us above all of the rest of His creation. If we were one of those beautiful trees that we see as evidence of God, we couldn't praise Him. We aren't created in His image. And if we were that tree, when that tree dies or is cut down or is burned up in a fire, that would be the end of our existence. But God has created us to live for time without end. In verse 6, the writer's, David, is reflecting on the opening of the Old Testament. And we see God's love for man and the position that He placed man, where all of creation is subject to man. Paul uses this verse to talk about the supreme power that Jesus had in His kingdom. And He's presented as reigning and will continue to do so until all things are put under His feet, and then He Himself will step down. 1 Corinthians 15:27. For He has put all things under His feet, but when He says He has put all things under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. In verse 7, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. You know, David illustrates creatures that God has placed at man's disposal. And the phrase, the paths of the sea, a man years and years ago by the name of Matthew Fontaine Murray read this in the Bible, and he looked for these paths of the sea, these underwater currents that could benefit ocean travel. And he found those paths and he mapped them out, and they're still being used today. Why praise God? Do we understand who God is and what He has done for us? So many times we just get so busy, so caught up in nothingness that we can't see our face when we look in a mirror. We're just blind to everything that's around us. God is worthy to be praised. In verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Again, on the handout, this conclusion, oftentimes it repeats why the Psalm of Praise was a worthy and logical thing to do. Sometimes this is called an envelope psalm or envelope. It begins and ends with the same phrase, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. We see where David has written the psalm of praise for us to consider. He has written many others. And this is a thought, again, that begins from back in Genesis all the way to Revelation, that we need to be praising God. Let's turn over to Revelation for a minute and see how the Bible ends with some of the thoughts about praising God. And in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 17, saying, we give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. So again, we see the majesty of God, Lord God Almighty. We see His omnipotence and His eternal existence, One who is and who was and who is to come. He exists in all time because You have taken Your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, and they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, should destroy those who destroy the earth. We give thanks to God Almighty. We turn over in Revelation to chapter 21. Chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there is no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And again, you think about the love that God had for us. The love is such a strong motive to praise Him. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Why should we praise God? God is going to dwell with us. He's going to dwell with us. If we're Christians, He should be dwelling with us. When we are buried in baptism, we bury that old man, we give our heart to God, He's going to dwell in our hearts, not something miraculously, but through the Word. He's going to dwell in our hearts. Our heart is going to be connected directly to God's, and we praise Him. Our heart is going to be in tune with God. God wants our heart to beat when His heart beats. God wants our heart to see what His heart sees when we look at people. God wants our hearts to do what He would do. And we praise God for that. We praise God for that. He will dwell with them. Just think about this. The God that created everything, He loves us and wants to dwell with us. And they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Again, this shows this personal relationship, this personal connection that we have with God. And we should praise Him for that. You think about the relationships that we have on this earth, family relationships, or a husband and wife. Friends, we'll never have a relationship like we have with Jesus Christ. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And again, we see His love. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Friends, what's in this life? It's just full of pain and suffering. And one day our Heavenly Father is going to save us from this and wipe every, doesn't say some tears, most tears. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. The things that we face in this life are going to be gone. And we should praise God because of that. And then in Revelation 22, beginning at verse 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its tree and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face. You just stop and think about that. Seeing the face of God. What did Moses want to do? Moses yearned for the day that he could see the face of God. And he was just permitted to see the hind parts of God. And when he saw that, his face shone with glory so much that he had to have a veil on his face. We shall see His face. We shall see God face to face. We should praise Him because of that. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This isn't going to be a temporary thing. We will reign with God forever and ever. Why praise God? You know, from these verses in Psalm 8, David makes some good points for us to consider. And the thought moves from the glory of God in verses 1 and 2 to the glory of mankind in verses 3 through 8. And then he repeats the original thought back in verse 9. And David gives us some logical reasons to praise God, our Creator. And we can see evidence that we cannot deny. When we look at the sky that is so big, we look up there, something so big, down to a small newborn baby. God is worthy of all praise. And when we understand what God has done for us, who God is, the only logical, understandable response is to praise God. Friends, do we understand who God is? I pray that we do. I pray that we are busy praising God and worshiping Him as He wants us to now, so that we can worship Him for time without end in heaven. Friends, if you're outside of the body of Christ, you don't have this blessing, you don't have that hope to look forward to. If you're outside of the body of Christ, why do you want to stay there? What are you looking forward to? What is your reward going to be? We pray, dear friends, that you would want to be baptized, wash those sins away, be forgiven of those old sins, and then start praising God and will never stop. If there's anybody that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.